Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to... Welcome to the Access Possibility School Radio Show. This week's topic is kids with ADHD and other diagnoses. This is Adele King, and I'm on with Christine DiDomenico, one of our teachers, and the director of the Access Possibility School. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Adele. How are you today?
Adele King. Good. How are you?
Good. I have to turn off my computer sound so I don't get you twice. Okay. And we're waiting for Simone Padour to come on to join us.
Yeah, she's working on getting on.
So where shall we begin?
Well, this is a big topic.
It is a big topic. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if we might start with what has been defined as ADHD. And it's interesting because I was talking to Simone earlier today and she mentioned her ADD. And so I was thinking about how when I was a kid that way back then, they didn't have the diagnosis as of ADD or ADHD, yet as it's defined in this reality, I do believe that I have some of the characteristics.
Which characteristics? What are the characteristics that you...
Well, I think for me it was the kind of going off into space and losing track of what was going on in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing. And then another thing I am aware of is that I always could sense that things didn't match. What people were saying didn't always match the energy. And I didn't have that language then, but the energy of what was really going on. So, and with my own child, when he was 8 years old, he was diagnosed with ADHD. And up until that point, to me, it was he was full of energy. He was nonstop from the time he was born, and he was curious and full of life. And it's interesting how that changed after his diagnosis.
So do you think the diagnosis actually... How did it change after the diagnosis? How did that show up?
Well, I think me not knowing anything other than what I was being told by the school and what I saw in my own school as a teacher, I took him to a neurologist, and he was on medication for many years. And it's interesting because that changed his personality. It pretty much sucked the life out of him. He wasn't that energetic, fun-loving kid anymore. He was very subdued. So I think, what I have seen diagnosed as ADHD is, as a teacher and in schools, is if a kid can't sit still, if they have a lot of energy, it's hard for them to function in an atmosphere where you're supposed to sit in your chair a lot of the day and pay attention to someone talking.
I mean, a lot of schools are sit down, listen, even at a kindergarten level. Oh, I think Simone is on. Let's see. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Simone.
Yes.
We got Gotcha. Yay.
How the fuck is that in the net?
Yeah. We were just talking about ADD, ADHD, and what the symptoms are and how it's diagnosed in this reality and what is expected of kids in school to sit and listen for long periods of time without too much moving around, and that when they become restless, a lot of times that becomes labeled as ADD.
Well, it was really funny because I just finished an elementary art class, and their attention span was probably about 20 minutes. We did the lesson and stuff like that. And what was interesting is there's two things that I learned. Number one, they're not at the level that I had thought they were at. So I'm having to do something different, and their interests are different too. For the younger ones, the older ones were quite happy with the lesson. So as a teacher, like balancing that out with your kids, because there's some that are going to be more active. Like the younger two were happy to scribble and they were running around. And anybody that says online school, they're worried that their kids are going to be stuck in front of desks, does not have to worry. He was turning his computer around so he looked like a bat and you could see up his nose. And because they were allowed to sort of keep going and moving and doing stuff together, that was the physicality they needed, but that would be definitely in a regular school or in most schools be labeled as, you know, ADD or ADHD. And they're just kids that want to run around. They're just kids that want to move their body, in my interesting point of view.
Well, I think that's something, you know, in graduate school, learning about the different, like, learning styles, that's something that they do address in terms of, you know, some people are very linear and they like to do a lot of rote learning and memorization, and some are visual learners and some are auditory learners and some are kinesthetic learners. And it sounds like with that, what you're talking about is the kinesthetic learner, where there are certain kids and people that actually require to move in order to absorb the information. So it's the movement associated with the learning that actually helps them to retain that knowledge and that information. So
yeah,
sometimes it is being able to just get up, move around, take a little break, whether it's, you know, at home doing homework, maybe sitting still for the entire time isn't gonna work. But, you know, doing short bursts and getting up and moving around, or, you know, doing flashcards while moving around and, like, dancing around or whatever that is, can be super helpful for a lot of people.
I think it also can be an indication of what the kids' interests are, too. Like, you know, if they're checking out or if they're, you know, acting, some people say acting out or whatever, you might go, okay, what's required here? What information do I need here? There was one point where the kids today were like, I could see that they were done playing because they were playing with the annotation tool, which is this tool we have at Access Possibility School, where they can all play on this, on the whiteboard, this virtual whiteboard, and they can be on it. And it was almost like a moving piece of art because they would add pieces and subtract pieces. And it was really cool. And at one point, one of them started, you know, bugging his brother or, you know, bugging the other classmates and stuff like that. And they said, okay, what do you require? Like, what would you like to do now? And he needed some time doing something else on his own, but he was sort of done with art, and so I gave him something else to do. And then he was fine, and then everything was calm again. So it's interesting if we take it as a cue rather than a problem.
Yeah, I think that's a huge piece of it, is just looking at it from a different perspective. Like, what if there's nothing wrong at all? And what if it just is that something else is required, like you're saying?
And I know
for me as a teacher, that is something that changed the way I taught so greatly, because when I first started teaching, I had the point of view that kids had to sit down to listen to
yeah.
And I'm a phys ed teacher. And I had a kid who, interesting point of view, huh? I had a boy in middle school who was not going to sit down. And I had to start looking at things from a different way, because otherwise I was going to drive myself crazy and I was going to drive him crazy too. And then I realized, wow, and I realized it, you know, many times over, how kids don't have to be sitting down, number one, to hear you and listen. And many kids hear and listen much better if they're not sitting down. And also the eye contact, where we have this point of view that someone has to have eye contact with you in order to be listening. And that's really torturous for some people, to have eye contact.
Absolutely. I know for myself, like certain people, I have more trouble because I'm on the spectrum, maybe high functioning, whatever you want to call it. But there's definitely points where I don't want to make eye contact with people. Like, it makes me really uncomfortable. So to then force a person to look at you when and they're not going to listen better because they're thinking all the time, I don't want to look at you. I don't want to look at you. So it's not actually going to increase their engagement or, you know, their attention necessarily if you make them look at you. Another piece to all of this, in my perspective, is that ADD or ADHD can be used as a capacity. In my point of view, it is a capacity. I watch the kids I teach, particularly in English, in their middle school, and I say to them, oh, okay, well, I'm going to read this story or, you know, whatever that is that we're doing. And they're like, oh, well, I can also do this, and I can also do this, and I can also do this. And I wonder at what point did we cut that off because we were supposed to just focus on one thing, and how much more could we do if that hadn't been cut off?
I remember that being one of the great battles with my mom growing up, when she was like, sit down and do your homework. And I was like, I don't want to. And then I would be like, okay, but I want to have my music on, and I want to be like, I always had like five things going at the same time. And she was like, how can you think with the music on? I was like, how can you think without it on? And so like, that was how I was wired, but it did like kind of fade out at some point. I think I did that all the way until college. And then at some point I kind of fell by the wayside, and, but it's very interesting. I wonder kind of that, you know, where do we cut things off, and just the different ways that people function.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also go ahead, Christine.
No, I was just going to say, of a tool for parents or teachers of kids that do have trouble sitting still and getting their work done, is you could ask the question, what else can they add to what they're doing that will actually let them do what they need to get done, whether it's homework or cleaning their room or whatever. And get out of that point of view that they have to just do one thing at a time.
I know I had a kid in middle school, and he was all over the place. He was always out of his seat, bugging his, you know, friends. And this was an art class where, you know, more sitting down it's easier if you're sitting down, although some people could stand. But he would just go around the classroom, and he couldn't sit still, and it was just like this constant, it was almost like a tick. And they weren't supposed to wear iPods because it was a school regulation, but I cheated. And I said, go ahead, wear your iPod, because I was just curious to see what happened. And he plugged himself into his earphones, he sat down, and he just created like crazy. And I was like, whoa. And this is before I started doing Access or anything like that. And this is one of the reasons that I started doing Access, because I was looking for tools that not only I could use, but that kids could use, so that were practical and pragmatic, you know, that you could use. And Christine and I were talking about this today, that you could use for so many different things. And using the questions is huge, you know, like, what else is required here? What else could I add? What information am I missing? Just allows you to start hooking into the kid or yourself. Like, if you're finding that you're kind of wigging out, you know, like I was doing that today. I was like just a basket case. And my brain was going a mile a minute, and I was creating all kinds of drama and craziness in my head. And I finally said, okay, what do I require here? What do I need to add to my life? And I suddenly got, call that dance teacher that you've been putting off for like ever. And I called this dance teacher and arranged the time, and I was so excited. My brain quieted down. My body was more energized. And I was like, wow, like it was that easy.
Cool.
So
very cool.
The other thing I know for myself growing up, and you touched on this, Christine, you were saying that you used to kind of like space out. And I noticed I used to do that too, and especially in high school. And then I kind of paid more attention for a while. I was like, you know, where do I go? And like, what's going on when I space out? And the thing that I noticed was that the teachers a lot of times would say the same thing like three times. And I would hear it the first time. And then I'd check out. They'd say it two more times. And then they'd finally move on. And I would like check back in. So it's interesting when you look at like ADHD, it stands for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And so it's kind of like we have so much going on that it's like, okay, I'm doing this, but I'm also thinking about like 10 other things. And what I realized when I got that they were saying the same thing three times, I was like, oh, I already got it the first time. So, and Simone, you were saying it's a capacity. It's like, what if some of these kids are just faster than what's going on around them? They're, you know, and that's part of like why they're having so many things going on helps, because then it's like, okay, this attention's here and that attention's there, and they're able to be aware of all those things, and that actually quiets all that extra awareness, so to speak. So what if these kids are actually faster than we think, and it's kind of the opposite of what it appears to be?
Well, it's funny.
Yeah.
Today there's this guy, and he's super fast. I was saying to some of the other teachers that I was going to have to start on point shoes because he keeps me on my toes so much. and it's funny. I said to him, I said, wow, you're fast. And he looked at me and he was like, no, I'm not. So already he had been told that he was probably just annoying, not that he was actually really fast.
Mm.
And where was I going with this? Oh, here it was. So for all the parents out there and all the teachers whoever works with kids, whether it's your grandkids, whomever, here's a great question. What energy, space, and consciousness can I be to be as fast as my kids with total ease? And then pod and pop everywhere you're not willing to be that. Because what I found with him, he's speedier than me, and it's, you know, he's sort of turned on a dime, like, all the time. And I'm like, God, I have to keep up with this kid. Like, you cannot for the moment check out or be unaware because he's gone already. You're like, oh no, he's gone. We're off the races. So if you need something to speed yourself up, because oftentimes that's another thing, is you're told to slow down. I don't remember how many times I was told to slow down. And so eventually you do, if you're stupid enough to listen to those people. And so this might be able to help you speed up.
The other thing with the speed is how people that have ADHD don't necessarily want to do one thing at a time. So, like, the way I work when I'm in my house and getting things done is I start working on one thing, and then I switch over to something else, and then I go back and maybe I do something else, and I get so much more done that way instead of saying, okay, I have to do this, I have to clean this room, and then I have to do this, and that linear step-by-step way. And I learned from a good friend of mine when I was working in a tutoring center that to have kids take their homework out of their bag and then spread it all out on the table and then let them choose what they're going to work on first and let them change from one subject to another if that works for them. And it looks like a disaster. It looks like a mess. And most people would say, you know, how can anybody work like that? It's like people that have a messy desk and know where everything is. But they actually, they have more ease with that, being able to go bop around from one thing to another.
Yeah, it's like creating from chaos.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds like so much fun. Sounds like you need a designated table, though.
Yes, you need a big table for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then there are also times where I've seen kids be so hyper-focused on something that they're so into. Like, I remember my son loving to play with Legos, and he'd be running around in a million different directions, and then he'd go to the Legos, and he could sit there for hours working with the Legos.
Yeah. I know my niece, she was very much like that. She would be bebopping all over the place, and she got this fishing set, you know, little kid's fishing set for her birthday, and she said to Mom, I want to go to the river, I want to go to the river, I want to go fishing. Her mom was like, okay, well, this should only take 5 seconds. And they were out there for like 2 hours. She was hyper-focused on this fishing. So, absolutely. Yeah. So, it's sometimes I really think it's misunderstood, because that ability to hyper-focus and stay at a task for a really long time is part of, in what I've observed anyway, of the ADHD or ADD. So to me, it really is a superpower.
Yeah, so like, I wonder if just by looking at the diagnosis from a different perspective, that it's not a disability, but rather it's an ability, that just have changing that point of view can change what shows up for a kid.
Yeah. Well, and also when you look at some of the, you know, the famous artists, writers, all of these people often had strange habits. Like, I'm thinking of Jackson Pollock, who did the drip painting, and I mean, not only was he hyper-focused, but he was all over the place. Like, he was just creating in this large, large space, right? And, you know, how much of the people that we admire and think, wow, that's so amazing, because they had that capacity, they could do those things.
Yeah, I mean, they had to be outside the box, for sure, to be so creative. And to so many people do that have invented things and are well known in different areas of life are the people that have the creative minds that are do things and think about things outside of the box.
Yeah,
absolutely. And one of the things I wanted to mention was how. Like, I wonder what the child knows about how they do things that works better for them, how they learn, how they do their homework, how they accomplish things in their life. Because that was one thing that I discovered about my own son, about medication. You know, I put him on medication when he was young because I didn't know any other way, yet he fought me tooth and nail the whole time. And then I realized when I learned the access tools that oh boy, he really knew a lot about his body that I wasn't willing to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Adele.
I was also thinking about that, like some of the more untraditional things that might, like, I knew I was very social and I had what is now referred to as FOMO, fear of missing out. So for me, like, I remember one time doing a study group and we were like out on the boat in the middle of the lake and like studying for finals, but I was with friends. So I was totally willing to like be there and do that for a longer period of time because I got to do it with other people. Whereas if I had been forced to like sit by myself and like, okay, you can go play once you've done your studying, like it never would have happened. So I think that point of like looking at that that individual as an individual, and like there's all this information and all these rules, but when it comes down to it, it's like, what's going to work for you? What's going to work for your child? What do they know is going to work for them? And being willing to look at like, okay, it might not be what works for everybody else, but it doesn't have to work for everybody else. It just has to work for you.
Yeah.
And there's a million different ways to do that.
Well, and as a teacher, I mean, yeah, you've got a lot of kids to know, particularly if you're in the regular school system and, you know, you got 600 kids or whatever. But if you make the effort to really get to know each kid, it just makes your life so much easier because you know how to tap into them. You know, like I remember this kid, he was really troubled. He was labeled as, you know, this is, you know, a bad kid or whatever. And I took the time to, I saw him doing something and I said, do you fish? And just by asking him a question, by being interested, I think, and I know I do it too, is a highly undervalued tool. The capacity to be interested, because when people know that you're interested, they feel cared for and it changes things. And just that one moment of contact of being like, oh, acknowledging him and what his interests were, he totally changed. And he was such an easy kid after that. So I think getting to know your kids is huge, and getting to know what they love to do. Like today it was really funny. They're like, oh yeah, we should have an art competition. And then whoever wins can choose what we do in art next time, you know? So just being willing to have a conversation and get to know them and stuff, I find out, oh, that this would be fun for them, right? So.
Well, and then it makes, as a teacher, it makes your life easier because then they're engaged and they're excited and they are now, you know, driving the class, basically. It's not like, okay, now we're going to do this. And they're like, why? Why do we do that? It's like, now they're excited and they're enthusiastic and they're curious. And I mean, that's the joy of learning.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I think we've got, three more minutes here. Is there anything that we want to say about things that are going on or things that are coming up?
Yeah.
Well, we have lots of classes, extracurricular classes coming up. And you can find out more information about the Access Possibilities School at accesspossibilitiesschool.com. And we not only offer full education for kids, but we also offer extracurricular classes, some of which are actually part of our regular program. So if your child likes art, you can sign up for a 6-week art class with Simone. And if your child likes theater, you can sign up for a 6-week class with Simone and Adele for theater. And we also have adult classes. We have a money management class coming up. We have an advanced placement and review classes for high school kids. What else do we have?
We also have a math class that I'm really excited about with Connor Hill. It was called Math Made Easy, and I think that's a once a month program. And he just, I mean, math has never been my strong point. I run from it. And yet watching the replays of his classes, there's just this easiness and this fun and this play that I never knew was possible with math. So if your kid is struggling with math or they're like, no, math, this might be something to check out. And we have just, if you check out our Facebook page, we're constantly posting about cool things that we find and articles, and there's our radio shows and upcoming events and stuff. So there's lots to see and be part of. And we also have a newsletter. If you go to our accesspossibilitiesschool.com, you can sign up for our newsletter. And again, there's lots of tools, lots of stories from the classroom. And we're just so excited to share all of this with you guys, because using the access tools wherever you are with whomever you're with is just such an exciting possibility and opens so many more doors.
And next week's show is we'll be talking about what to do when kids hate math. Math seems to be one of those walls that, like Simone said, many people have up. I hear so many adults say they hate math. So we're going to talk about what to do when kids hate math.
Excellent. I'm excited about that show.
Okay, well, thank you guys. Thank you to our listeners for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.